Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, third hour, just zooming down the highway, just chilling. Tiki and Tierney, third hour, as I said, live from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you as well. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage on this Tuesday around the country. Hope everybody's hanging in as best as you can be hanging in. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. SiriusXM 206, Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, and that is where you'll find our poll question, and it pertains to the eventual future of two of the top quarterback prospects getting ready to get drafted here, Mr. Herbert and Mr. Tua, and according to reports, multiple teams favoring Herbert over Tua at this point, knowing Tua's vast injury history. Would you rather your team take him or Justin Herbert in the top 10? Right now, Tua, based on his upside, and that's how I voted, is getting 51% of the votes. Herbert is getting 23%, and 25.5% of you say neither worthy of a top 10 pick right now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
BT, you never answered. I said Tua. Who did you say?
Oh, Tua. I voted Tua already.
Yeah.
Oh, no question.
Yeah,
no, I'm just not a huge, I say this because there are certain quarterbacks who come out and I see distinct limitations that it's fairly easy to say I'm not a huge believer of the ability to translate it to the next level.
Yeah.
I don't see that with Herbert. I just don't think he's going to be a star. But why I could be wrong. A lot of people like him.
Is it because he got this knock a little bit at school, or not at school, because he decided to stay at school, that he didn't love it that much. Like, he loved being a student. And yes, I know we said this earlier, he loved being a duck, but it was also, he loved class. Like,
yep,
he loved
he
going
did.
To school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how can a nerd be an NFL quarterback? But to me, that's an old narrative that doesn't fit anymore, because so many guys are so learned about different things. And mm-hmm. if you can spend an extra year, you know, you're going to get drafted in the first round anyways, and you can spend an extra year in college, I would, and you're a quarterback, no doubt about it, you would do that 100 times out of 100 times, just because it's you're living your life before you become a professional, and the pressures of winning and losing, and, you know, the weight of carrying a franchise,
you
can put that off for a year and you're still going to get there. I absolutely would have done the same thing.
Nothing about his desire and his ultimate decision to go back to school shapes my narrative for Herbert. You know, what I'm a little worried about, and for a long time, what I was probably most against was I just didn't see a guy who was really flinging it down the field. Now, this isn't 1985 where, you know, Dan Marino's dropping back and throwing 25-yard darts all around. No, I get it. All the schemes and, you know, I mean, look at Tom Brady at this point. He's just gashing you to death. I that's not a huge concern. I was a little concerned that, you know, for the final six games that Herbert played, he threw picks, threw two against Arizona State. That was a loss. They lost by a couple points there. He was sub 50. I think he was around 55 or 56% that game. Didn't play particularly well. Even the game against Wisconsin, well, the Rose Bowl, he ran a bunch, and he had a couple of rushing touchdowns, but he didn't throw a touchdown in the air. He had a pick. I just saw some uneven performances, but
yeah, there was a consistency that wasn't the same. Like, you saw that consistency with Tua. You didn't necessarily see it with Justin Herbert. And, you know, let's be real. Alabama's in the SEC, and Oregon's in the Pac-12. It's mm-hmm. a different level of competition as well.
But there's also a different level of players around Tua than Herbert, to be fair to Herbert.
That's a great point. Now, I mean, look, he chucks it to Jerry Jeudy or Henry Ruggs or any of those guys. Uh-huh. And it's like you got a big play waiting to happen by throwing a bubble screen. You know what I mean? Justin Herbert has some good athletes out there in Oregon, but not eight of them, you know, all on the field at the same time.
Yeah, you know, and for sure, and I heard what you said, but I was also reading something, and, you know, I don't know if there's a direct correlation here, but, you know, I mentioned the game against Arizona State this year. He didn't play well, right? Even last year, I'm now on his game log from 2 years ago, the penultimate regular season game, they won, but he was 19 out of 34, 55.5%, and he threw two picks. And what I might be prepared to take away from that is, you know, Herm Edwards, former NFL mm-hmm. defensive head coach, all sorts of now in 2018, not as many, but the NFL presence on his coaching staff on both sides of the ball. I don't know. Are they just ahead of the curve and taking away things from Herbert that will be, you know, commonly taken away from him at the next level?
Well, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting point though, BT, because I always talk about how college defenses are so basic, and you go back and you think about why that is. It's because you can't confuse them, right? You don't want them, you know, overthinking it when some of these kids are 19 years old, 18 or 19 years old, and just getting into these complex systems. Yeah, some of them may be upperclassmen, but a lot of them aren't. And so the more complicated it is, the harder it sometimes is to process. But then you get a team or a coach like Arizona that has so many NFL influences, you can be a little bit more cavalier with the coverages that you call. Maybe. I mean, I'd have to go look at the film and dig into it and, you know, overly speculate about it, but there could be something to that. There's been a whole lot of NFL quarterbacks, BT, or college quarterbacks that went to the NFL that just couldn't figure it out. And it had nothing to do with, like, how strong they were or how good of a leader they were. It just became hard to figure out, and it holds them back sometimes.
All right, just wanted to circle back to that. Let's circle back to this as well. The NCAA, the big story of the day, and really, it might go down as the big story of the week, even though I think we all anticipated that this would happen. The NCAA granting the extra year of eligibility to the spring athletes, and as we just discussed with Gary Parrish, the winter athletes obviously don't get this. So, and you and I both agree the season was deep enough and you know, for the most part, written in conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't practical to do that. This is the right move. This impacts baseball and softball, men's and women's lacrosse, both volleyball, both indoor for men's and beach for the women, golf, rowing, tennis, outdoor track and field, water polo. I believe that's men and women water polo. I mean, listen, to me, this is a very, you know, very unique situation. Today we learned, I retweeted this and I brought it up on the air about 30 minutes ago, the city of Toronto is not allowing public events until at least June 30th. So maybe there's a Blue Jays game July 1st. Maybe there's a Raptors game July 9th. Maybe not. Could be pushed back. Nobody knows what's next. Nobody knows what's happening. So it was the, you know, humane, if I could use that word, it was the humane thing to do for 99% of the student athletes that were granted this reprieve, this extra year, are not going pro. They're going to the boardroom, yep. But they want to finish with pride, and good yep. for them.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and just from looking at this list, because I have the same list that you do with baseball and beach volleyball and golf and lacrosse and rowing and softball. Track and field is the one that jumps off the my computer screen, because, you know, not that all of these college kids are going to go compete in the Olympics, but some of them may. And so there's this, and it's a small subset of it, but the Olympics are canceled as well. And so by being able to stay at school and train, and say if you otherwise could not, say you were graduating, then you're kind of stuck, right? What are you doing for a year? Unless sponsors come back in. We know that one of the big problems with the Olympics being postponed is that some of these kids lost their sponsorships. And without their sponsorships, how are they continuing to live while they train? So in some ways, for the Olympic sports, you know, forget the higher profile sports like baseball or even golf, for that matter. Certainly, track and field, these guys are going to benefit because they can stay at school for another year and be taken care of on scholarship, or at least partial scholarships.
Yep, they can. I mean, there's the each university is going to have a chance to determine, you know, what works for them and what doesn't. And from an athletic distribution point of view and scholarship distribution, you know, the NCAA, and I said this in the first hour, but it's worth repeating quickly, is not going to count the 2020-2021 scholarship limit on any returning player. So that's obviously a great thing. And, you know, the example that I use, you know, whether it's baseball, whether it's lacrosse. So I know the men's lacrosse gets 12.6 scholarships to disperse however you want with a floor of 25%. And the average roster for Division I, I believe, is between 43 and 44.
Yep.
If there's six players that decide to cut that, let's say if there's seven seniors that are eligible to come back and four of them want to, and three of them are wanted back by the coaching staff, and you can then add the three to the 12.6 and bring it up to 15.6 with no penalty. So this was a pretty well thought out situation by the NCAA.
Agreed.
There's no perfect answer because, as Jay Bill has pointed out, you know, what about the player who's about to get pushed out because the coach doesn't want him? And you'd love to see that player have the ability to transfer.
Yeah, and you hope that he still find a way to do that. I think exemptions will be heavily granted if that should.
I don't know about.
I don't either. But I'm saying I hope that it would be.
Yeah, so would I.
For hope. Because that's just unfair.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like here you go, stay for another year. But and then the coach says, yeah, but I want you, get out of here.
Yep.
Right. That's just unfair for the kids. By the way, an update on the Toronto band, BT. I see this from Dave Pagnotta at the fourth period on Twitter. He said, this is important to note. The Toronto band is exclusively city led events. This does not affect the NHL in the NBA. From returning. So obviously it's a big deal.
Huge.
Because it changes how you know what you feel about that from a city standpoint.
Wow.
So this says the mayor was speaking city permitted events. So or permitted events. So like parades and festivals and stuff, but not the NBA or the NHL or any other professional sports.
Great clarification, T, because there was a lot of misinformation. I mean, I'm not going to call the writer out, but I have a story in front of me right now from the Sporting News, and the title of the article, it says, Toronto's ban on public events through June 30th casts serious doubts on NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball. And that was my natural thought, too.
Yeah.
So good clarification.
Yeah, I mean, it's important clarification because
sure.
The leagues certainly are going to have a say in that if that should have been true.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it, June? End of June? That's a big deal.
Why is my
man.
Wife bringing in her Zoom? Like, I care about my wife's Zoom right now. My wife is coming into my office right now with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 of her friends, 6 of which I'm sure have glasses of wine. And I really don't care. I care about them all, but I don't care about the Zoom session right now, honey. What's going on, guys? Who's that? Let me see. Oh, there's Lori. Lori, what's up, kiddo? How you doing? This is our new world. All right, let your husband get back to work here, baby. All right. Yay. All right, Tiki.
Jeez. Great for you, man.
You know what I noticed, by the way?
What's that?
I noticed when we first started doing these shows from home, or at least what I can only speak for myself, obviously, but when we first started broadcasting from home, at least here, the first 2 or 3 days, no, shh, daddy's on the air. No, don't go near daddy's off. Daddy's doing a show. Now they just roll in. Nobody cares anymore.
Yeah, see, my office is locked. Tracy has the girls upstairs in the attic playing with a big Barbie house. And so, luckily for me, for the last 2 weeks, I've had quiet.
It's all good. I actually enjoy it. My office happens to be offset to the immediate left once you get into the entrance of our home. But it's not in the basement. That's where the man cave is. That's where the heavy drinking happens. The real card games, the fun. Nobody's allowed down there but daddy. Get out.
I love it.
But now there's a big bouncy house in the middle.
Yeah, of course. Of course. But that's not a bad thing, though. Sometimes you can chill on the bouncy house.
No doubt.
Or sleep on the bouncy house.
No doubt. You know what I think? I went for my old man walk the other day, right? Yesterday. Mm-hmm. I rotate. I go old man walk. And really, what, do I still have the numbers here? Or did I delete that? Hold on. Wait, no, I think I took a picture. Let's see here. I say it's an old man walk. I mean, I'm kind of being, you know, self-effacing. But it really wasn't that much of an old... Where are the numbers? Give me one sec. Okay. I walked 3.97 miles, okay,
nice.
In 57 minutes.
Okay.
And burned, let's see, where is that? 412 calories. And the average minute walk was 15. But that's
nice.
Walking.
Nice.
Yeah, a couple times I stopped. I take pictures like shrubbery ideas for the yard.
Now all you didn't need to do is just pick up the pace a little bit, shuffle a little bit.
Nah, I can't
run. Eventually, you're going to be running. You're going to be
it's
like
not good
me.
For the back, dude. I, you know this. I would love to. I can't. It's too jarring. I had back surgery last year.
I know.
Man.
But get right. Get strong.
Get right. Coming from a guy who was blessed with physical genes. His dad played at Virginia Tech. Rondé played in the NFL. I don't have your genes.
True, but you can't go work out. I introduce you to Joe Carini. He'll get you right.
You've been saying that for years. I've never shaken hands with Joe. At this point, even if I saw him, I couldn't shake his hand.
True.
But you know what I think I'm going to get? I saw this, and I was always thinking about getting this. Now I'm for sure I'm going to get it because I went on a totally different tour of the neighborhood of the area because it's a place. I just start walking. And I've got my music. I've got my thoughts. A little solitude, right? And I came across. There's two things I'm looking for. Like shrubbery ideas for trees and stuff, because that's the next phase of the backyard. And I've been looking for, and I've seen a bunch, but a really good like golf net that I can also use for the kids to hit balls into, but that I can actually hit not wiffle golf balls into, real golf balls, and like really, you know, hybrids and bang them and not worry about the net breaking or, you know, or me missing the net probably more specifically. I found a great one yesterday, so I'm getting ready to order that probably tomorrow morning, because Teak, you know, the last thing, you know, I mean, the one thing I know about me, as bad as I am, at least if I can groove a repetitive bad swing, I've got a fighting chance when I get on the golf course again.
It's a good
point. If I don't touch a club between now and say July 1st or late June, there's a good chance the first swing I'll miss.
Yeah,
I'll miss the ball.
That would be ugly. You gotta continue. I'm seeing you continually finding at home outdoor activities.
No doubt about it.
You have to.
I know.
At home outdoor activities paramount.
Oh man! All right, T. Coming up, DeMario Davis. Yeah, he was a Jet at one point. He's turned into a very good player for the Saints. Getting paid a little bit. He's got a book out. DeMario's going to stop by. Join us coming up next here on the show. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right. All right. Pack it up. Pack it in. Let me begin. I came to battle. It's a sin. All right, Tiki. Yeah. Oh, man. What does it rain for? Four straight days here? It really has.
Yeah. It slowed down a little bit today.
A little bit.
I was able to get out and run and ride the bike and stuff like that. But
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. You know, the we were talking about, and I dropped this in on Monday. I gave ESPN a lot of credit for coming up with that fictitious tournament based on the seedings with the 64 greatest college players of all time, men and women. Remember that?
It came down to Michael and
Bird.
Bird, interesting.
Yeah, Bird beat Magic.
Wow.
Bird beat Magic. Yeah.
And who won overall?
Well, I don't think that's been concluded yet. I think they're voting right now for Jordan and Bird.
Gotcha.
I mean, in terms of the greater...
It's going to become a popularity contest. It's going to be Jordan.
No, hold on a sec. I don't know that. Well, because if it was a popularity contest, I mean, of course, Bird was popular, but I don't think Bird would have been pushed through past Magic if it was just a popularity contest.
Yeah.
Magic's still visible. He's got the smile. He's always on First Take. He's
true.
You know,
but,
I don't know.
But because of that, he's more available, which often leads to more criticism, if you know what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you are kind of mysterious, like Larry Bird seemingly is now after leaving the Pistons.
He's just pounding beers on his tractor, cutting grass, hanging out.
He's living the life.
Don't bother me.
Not at all.
I'm the hit from French Lick.
Oh, wait, I'm in the Final Four against Magic and Michael and whoever in a popularity contest?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Tell me how many times I care.
Yeah, I know. Who was the fourth? It had to be... Was it Walton? I lost track of that, actually. Was it Walton or Alcindor? D-Cell, Mike, check on that.
It had to have been Alcindor.
You don't know?
If it wasn't, then people just don't know.
Yeah. Well, same with Walton. You could make a case if Walton wasn't there.
That's a good point.
I mean, Bill Walton had one of probably the greatest college game of all time.
Yeah.
Basically, didn't miss a shot. Had a ton of rebounds.
That's all we're seeing these days, BT, is these throwbacks.
Yep.
So they had a UCLA, well, I forget what year he was there, 69 or 7, whatever it was, UCLA, Bill Walton. They played fast, man, but not like in transition. They played fast in the paint. So it was like the ball is into Walton, back out, you know, kicked around, back in the Walton.
Oh, you mean
back
they
out.
Would they would post him up and then repost and kick it around a little bit?
It was over and over until he found like his spot, and then he'd just rise up and knock down an easy, 8-footer. Right? It was like the way that they played was actually kind of interesting. I don't think the NBA is ever gonna get back to that type of game. Maybe it happens in college if you have the right sized big man who's athletic like that. But the problem is athletic sized big men like that, they don't stay. They go to college for a year and they bounce. So you never get to develop, something over 3 or 4 years like Bill Walton was.
Or Ewing
and dominate on the college level because you're there for a season.
Well, not to mention, just the pure math, not to mention – the propensity of the three-point shot.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I mean,
it's a good point.
And it's funny. Why has the big man withered away? Is it because of the three-point shot, or is it just because the big man is withered away? Like, there's got to be a motivational force behind it. And I would think that the emphasis on hitting threes, and for the most part, little guys stepping out to start.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, everybody steps out. That's probably why there's been a de-emphasis on the bigs because. The big heavy footed kid in high school, even if he could jump out of the gym, but that lumbering, thick, strong, 6'9" or 6'10" center in college who's setting picks and throwing elbows and getting rebounds and just doing stick backs. I mean, what is that kid doing now? He goes
on
the court.
It's not exciting. It's not even exciting to
that
kid.
No, it's not.
So he doesn't want to do that. If he's going to be that guy, he's going to go play D end. For the high school,
right.
And try to make $20 million a year doing it that way. Right. It's all about speed, and that just favors the little guys now. Whether it's in transition basketball or whether it's shooting three pointers, so it's just changed a lot the game. But you notice it in stark contrast. Kind of opportunistically, because that's all we're seeing on sports channels right now are these old throwback games.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of cool to remember it, kind of like it was cool as we were talking about earlier, at least I was talking about earlier, watching Star Wars again, the original trilogy.
There's no doubt. What jumps out to me, too, is I watch a lot of these games. MLB Network's been doing a great job. I was watching a little bit of Roger Clemens' 20-strikeout game against Seattle, Danny Tartable. And that crew the other day on MLB Network, and the Yankees have been doing their thing, of course, and the Mets, at least locally, the channels I get, but nationally, the MLB Network's been, and I love MLB Network, they do a great job.
They're fantastic, what they do.
And they really are.
And their talent is great.
No doubt about it. And their studio is really cool, their presentation is really cool, they have fun, they're informative, their clinic aspect is very, very good, suited to even if you have an incredibly high baseball intellect, they present it in a way that fits the mind of a developing young baseball player or softball player. But even if you are really on the end of the scale with great baseball intellect, you appreciate the way they're great. But what I notice now when I watch these games on MLB Network is that, and I always knew this, and I guess I've said this at some point over the years here, but man, here's the pitch, boom. Catcher throws it back to the mound, pitcher gets a sign, boom. Batter steps out for maybe a half a second, grabs his cup, looks into the third row. I'll be leaving you my number, and I'll get back in the box real quick here. Like, there's no mess. They just get right back into it.
Yeah, because they have to. It's the rules these days. You can't loiter. They want these games finished in, close to 3 hours as opposed to 3 and a half to 4 hours that we're starting to see sometimes. I get it. I don't mind it.
Let's see here. You know what I wanted you to, I know you weren't a big sneaker guy growing up, so.
No. Okay. I couldn't afford it. I mean, how the hell was I affording sneakers? What was my mom doing? Going to buy two pairs?
That's
no
true.
Chance.
That's true. That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's true.
Maybe I was lucky if we got, a pair because she had to buy two. It was never one pair.
That's true. That
is we're not sharing sneakers. I mean, we probably did, but they weren't anything worth showing off.
No, that's true. That's true. But I put it, I told you every day I try to do a little bit of, well, not every day, maybe every other day. I don't want it to get too repetitive, but I try to come up with something cool just to get people to react to, have a little fun, connect the dots, you know, just mindless stuff that's sentimental and cool, but really, you know, maybe distract you for 5 or 10 minutes as you get back to the real world, obviously. And the other day I tweeted, you know, what was your all-time favorite poster growing up? And I tweeted mine, and then I called for people to, you know, to deliver theirs. Got some great ones, right? And this morning I put out, and I loved my sneakers growing up. You know I loved my sneakers. And I said, you know, what was your favorite? And I said, excluding Jordans. Otherwise, that makes it too easy. Everything would have been Jordans. Jordan 1, Jordan 5, Jordan 9, Jordan 12. I mean, no. Excluding Air Jordans, I issued a challenge. Provide an image of your all-time favorite sneaker, excluding the Jordans. And mine was the black and white Converse weapons that Larry Bird wore. Not because of Larry Bird. I couldn't stand Bird. Nor could I stand the Celtics. But the black and white Converse weapons. And look at them when you get a chance, Teague.
Yeah, I will. We're trying to find it now.
Oh, they're dope. You'll see it on my page.
Yeah, I'm stuck on Sean Payton right now talking about Jumpman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. But they were great because you could wear them in CYO, but they were versatile enough when you wanted to rock them with the jeans and the gold chain and the champion sweatshirt and the turtleneck back in the day.
Nice.
So, Teague, some of the sneakers that people have hit me with are everything from kangaroos to the purple and yellow Converse weapons, which obviously were for Magic, the Dunks, the Nike Dunks. I mean, all sorts of the D Brown, the Pump It Ups. I mean, Bo Jackson's, just incredible. If you're a sneakerhead, is what I'm saying. If you like sneakers, go to my page at Brandon Tierney. Scroll down about, you know, 10 or 12 spots because I responded to some people.
Yeah.
And you'll see my original post, and definitely hit me with the thread of your all-time favorite sneaker. I want to, and you better send an image too, excluding Air Jordans. It's amazing how many cool sneakers there were and how cumbersome and heavy they looked back in the day. That's the thing, right?
Well, I'm checking out this up-tempo, Nike Air up-tempo.
Okay.
To which you responded to, nope, never.
Oh, wait, were those the ones that had the big Air written on them?
Yeah, exactly.
Those were nasty.
Those are just hideous.
Nah, I don't like them. I couldn't get down with that. I don't like those at all.
I can't find your number one. Where's your number one?
Number one is, it's the black and white Converse weapons, and if you go down...
Dude, you got hit back a lot on these.
Oh, yeah. Oh, everybody jumped in.
Here we go. I got number one.
Look at those.
Yeah.
Are those sweet?
Those are sweet.
You can wear them with jeans. You wear them in the CYO game.
That's right.
And they were with any uniform, black and white.
Number two is the red.
Yes, the Nike Dunks from the early, late 80s, early 90s. And then there was another one that, and you see how I attached the gold, silver, and bronze medal? The other one was from Charles Bart. Which one was it? It would have been it was the Air Force, and it was the first one with like a Velcro strap, not at the tongue, but midfoot, like right below your toes. I don't know if you remember that, but that's on my page as well. I mean, I could talk sneakers all day.
I got to tell you though, your boy Jerry Ferrar.
Yeah.
What these like lime?
Those are horrible.
These lime green Reeboks.
I can't believe he put those up there.
What is he talking about? I don't know.
I don't know.
They look like Andre Agassi tennis shoes.
They're terrible. They do look like I don't know what I mean? Why. I can't believe that.
Maybe he's just messing with you.
No, he's not. He's not. And then because I wrote back because in one of the early Entourage episodes, Vince had a pair of sneakers, the Fujiyamas commissioned, which were $1,000 a pair for Jerry. So I said, you send me these things? What about the Fujiyamas? What are you sending me neon green and neon pink yellow tennis sneakers from Reba? Why are you sending me these? It's not what I expected from Jerry. I hear you, Tiki. All right, so D-Cell, what happened with DeMario? Got held up a little bit?
Got held up. Hopefully scheduled for another day.
Okay. All right. Not a big deal. We've got the blast coming up. Have a little fun with that, Tiki and Tierney. Yeah, jump in. Sneakerheads, little challenge on my page. And Tiki, do me a favor, retweet that.
I will.
And if you could come up with any sneaker that you remember.
Dude, you know what I'm going to send you?
Spot Bills.
No, I'm going to send you something. I'm going to send you what I was like into and what I like begged my mom to get.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm guessing they had a little neon flavor to them in the early 90s.
Maybe. You'll see.
Can't wait to see them. Send them over. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, this portion of Tiki and Tierney, final segment of the show. We'll get to the blast in a moment. It's sponsored by Napa. And Napa believes every driver deserves quality parts. That's why you can do it yourself at a Napa auto parts store, or have it done for you at a Napa Auto Care Center. Either way, that is the Napa know-how. Napa know-how. Teak, this Zoom, this virtual happy hour Zoom is growing. They're starting to get lit, every one of them now.
It sounds like it's getting a little bit out of control.
It's starting to get louder. Like. By the minute, I notice. Oh, my God.
I can't find what I was looking for, BT.
Give me a help. Give me a hint. I can get it for you.
There was a New Balance.
Okay.
Track spikes from like 1991.
Where'd you get them from? That what was that magazine?
East Bay. Dude, we lived on East Bay, just like salivating over track shoes.
Yeah, I used to love getting that magazine in the mail. I really look forward to that.
Yeah, exactly.
They had sick colors. They had everything. So let's see. We'll get to the Blast in a moment. They moved up that Jordan 10-part documentary series. Thank God.
So that's what Sean Payton was talking about.
Yeah.
So Sean Payton on Twitter was like 2 weeks or said something like that. They can't wait. And people were like, oh, are you sponsored by Jumpman now? And he came back with like, I've been on Jordan since before Drake and I don't know, someone else. I didn't know what he was talking about. It was
a lot of time on your hands, huh, Coach?
It was confusing to me until you just said that. You just said the Jumpman documentary is coming out. That's why Sean Payton's on Twitter tweeting about it.
Got it. The footage looks tremendous. It's called The Last Dance, and obviously Michael is the focal point. But you'll get a lot of Pippen, a lot of Rodman, a lot of Phil Jackson. It's going to be really, really good. I mean, the only problem is they're going to release it, I believe, conventionally, meaning we get, you know, one episode one night, and then we got to wait like the old days, which wasn't that long ago, for the next one, and then eventually the next one. They're not dropping all 10 at once, I don't believe. Which would be phenomenal if they did, but I don't think they're going to give us.
Well, I mean, that's how people want to watch it, though, because we're all in binge. Like, we're in binge mode right now. Mm-hmm. You watch things just over and over and over till you fall asleep and you get up. What did I remember? Signing off? Okay, let me go back to there and binge watch from there on.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a little trivia. Not trivia. Actually, that's not the right way to phrase it. Hold on. Let me just go to this here. I'm going to ask you. I just want to find it. Okay, the list of how many of the HBO series, because before Netflix and before, you know, a lot of these, you know, whatever, how many of these HBO series do you think you actually got into over the all the years?
Go ahead.
Let's see. Why is this not? Okay, here we go. Some of the early ones. Let's see if they have a timeline. Hopefully, they have to give this a timeline here. Hold on one second, Teak. First broadcast. Oh, they do it. They do it by. All right. I get this isn't the best way to do it, but it might be the only way. So, okay. Did you get into Arliss? You probably didn't watch Arliss back in the 90s, did you?
A little bit. But not really. I didn't necessarily love it.
Did you get into Ballers?
Ballers, I did.
Uh huh.
Then they canceled that one, right?
Well, it got 4 seasons out of
it. No, not Ballers. What was the one that the
ESPN? That was the one years ago with the NFL. They said stop
this. Yeah, the NFL made them stop.
That was like in 2004 or 5, something like that.
I can't remember that one.
I don't think that was HBO either.
I think it was ESPN, to be honest with you.
Okay. I think you're right. Did you get into Crashing, which is about a comedian?
Never even heard of it.
It's a good one. It's only a couple of seasons. It's pretty strong. Did you get into Divorce with Sarah Jessica Parker?
No.
A pretty good one.
That's the one with Adam Driver.
Is
that Adam Driver? I can't remember.
I don't think he's the male co-star. No. I'm terrible with names. But no, I don't. She's the star and the other dude who was I've been in so many things, too. It's escaping me right now. You didn't get into Eastbound and Down, did you?
No.
The baseball player?
No.
Oh, my God.
Missed that one.
Oh, Jesus. Phenomenal. What about... Hung. Did you ever watch the show Hung?
No, I didn't watch any of these, man.
It's pretty funny, actually. A lot of this was when, like, we were pregnant for the first time. You know, he's kind of sitting around watching stuff. I caught up on a lot of shows. Did you watch Sex and the City back in the day?
Of course.
Of course you did.
So did I.
Non-voluntarily.
No, so did I. I actually enjoyed it. I have no problem with it.
It wasn't bad. I'm just saying. I wasn't willingly sitting down to watch Sex in the City.
No, I don't disagree.
And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
How about Oz? Did you watch Oz?
Oz? No.
Oh, my God. I think that might be, first of all, it might be the most disturbing one of all time. The Wire gets all the platitudes, rightfully so, and Sopranos. But Oz to me was, I mean, if you can stomach it, Oz was absolutely phenomenal. Did you get into Boardwalk Empire?
No.
Okay.
You're striking out on all of these.
Did you get into, I didn't get into 6 Feet Under. That was a pretty big one. I didn't get into that.
That one seemed morbid.
Yeah, did you get into Newsroom? I love that.
Didn't get into that one either.
Damn,
these are all HBO.
You would like
HBO.
That one. No. That's one you need to, watch. You will really like Newsroom.
All right, I'll put it on the list.
News, and Tracy will like it, so you can watch it together. All right. What up? Mrs. Fletcher is on here. Oh, my. They've had so many shows. Man.
That's new, though, Mrs. Fletcher. Right?
Yeah, I've actually seen it. It's funny. She's home, and she's divorced, and, you know, now she's, like, exploring, you know, her sexuality. Like, she hasn't, you know, hadn't been with anybody for a while, and now she's going out and getting high and just going out and dating. It's actually pretty funny.
And she has a kid, right?
She's got a kid in college, yeah.
Yeah, I think I watched that one.
All right, you ready for...
He's a little bit of a mess up, too.
A little bit. He's got a bit of a strange personality. I don't think he's a bad kid, but he's definitely a little wayward at this point. I would agree with that. You ready for a little blastage here, Teak?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, ESPN, just keep on chasing that analyst for Monday Night Football. ESPN has reportedly offered Drew Brees the role whenever he retires. Hey, Bruce, whatever you've done, we got you. Who's ever in their seat, we're going to kick him out. Don't worry. Who's more likely to be in the booth at some point, Brees or Peyton Manning?
I think this is easily Drew Brees. Peyton Manning, I don't think, wants to do this. He wants to be in some other higher position inside of a team. He said that, or at least he's intimated that many times. But Drew seemed to actually consider this this offseason, and we almost kind of thought it was going to happen. He decided to go back, obviously, on a two-year, you know, a pretty team-friendly deal as well to give it another shot. But I think Drew Brees is there way before Peyton Manning.
I agree. He's flirted strongly here, whereas it seems like everybody's always kind of pursuing Peyton, and he rebuffs their pursuit, where it seems like Drew is sincerely intrigued by this. I think it's a very easy call. I'm with you on Drew Brees. I agree. Jeff Van Gundy thinks the NBA season will ultimately get canceled. When is the deadline you think the NBA would have to make that decision? I'm going to put it at 1 month. I think, Deke,
1 month from now.
Yes, 1 month from now. I think we need to know by May 1st, a month and a day, by May 1st, what the plan is. Because players need to get in shape. And, you know, the NBA playoffs, even if they wax the rest of the regular season, the NBA playoffs is a two-month endeavor.
Yeah,
now,
that's true.
They can obviously manipulate the schedule and have fewer days off in between. But if it is not at least the skeleton of a plan by May 1st, we're in trouble.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. It needs to start before June, too, because the last thing you want to do is see this thing push into the fall and start thinking about September championship games.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think you're right. Your instinct is right.
All right. Kobe, the great Kobe Bryant, may the Mamba rest in peace. Kobe's towel from the final game in 2016 when he went bonkers for the 60 at Staples was sold for $30,000. At an auction. Oof. What piece of sports memorabilia would you pay the most for? Good question, Sam. Thirteek, what do you got?
This is a good one.
Good question.
I'm trying to think, like, maybe Ali's gloves, but those are probably ridiculous from the Thrill in Manila.
Well, I think Mike's assuming we could afford whatever it is. Like, we could get it. Yeah. If we want it, we get it.
That one would be interesting to me, simply because they're boxing gloves and they're easy and cool to display, plus the history behind That trilogy was awesome, and obviously Muhammad Ali was iconic.
Of course. And you can just keep him in the studio. When I piss you off, you can beat me around when we're back in studio. I'm going to say something that's probably, I don't think anybody would even though people know I love golf, I don't think you would think this would be my first choice. I would say something from Bobby Jones, because I think about this, and I want it to be in a, like, I don't want it to just be buried in the man cave necessarily. I want it to be kind of a central point in my office, which is kind of a central point in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And like an old hickory golf putter or his wedge or even his driver, any club from Bobby, because it's a classy piece of equipment, but it's a real conversation starter as well. It can hang over the fireplace. It could be in a nice case. I would say something from Bobby Jones. All right, let's see. Chris Sale had successful Tommy John surgery in L.A. over the weekend. Dr. James Andrews says he's canceling all non-urgent Tommy John surgeries. Do we consider this essential travel and essential medical treatment? Keep in mind, Noah Syndergaard got some heat for having surgery recently. Teak, what do you got?
I mean, is this non-urgent surgeries? Was this one urgent? I mean, I don't think so, because it's going to be a year regardless if he had done it now or, you know, 2 or 3 months from now. I wouldn't consider this essential medical treatment at all. This was an odd one.
It's a tough one because, you know, based on the climate and the circumstances, it seems nowhere near essential or paramount. But specific to somebody's career, you know, those 2 months might determine whether or not you get back to the season at all next season. So essential to his career, he could be a free agent soon. I'm going to actually say, well, at least in Syndergaard's situation, I'm going to say yes, and I believe that's going to be unpopular, but I'm going to say yes because when you return is directly impacted. So I'm going to say yeah. All right, Teak, go watch a little more Star Wars, buddy. Have fun.
We have 5 more to go.
All right, get starting. Get that popcorn going. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.